Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HT, Rudraneel Sengupta.
For only the third time in its history, the IPL will begin outside of India. For only the second time in 13 years that the IPL has existed in, the tournament will also finish outside of India. And for the first time in its history, this beginning and ending outside of India has nothing to do with the general elections. Welcome to a new episode of A View from the Stands, where we obviously are going to discuss the big talking point of the week, which is the IPL moving to the UAE and also getting its start and finish dates. Rudra, what are you excited about? What are you not excited about? Finally, there's going to be some hardcore cricket to watch for close to 2 months.
Oh, well, that's right. But, for me, cricket's already started. Right? Because England versus West Indies was amazing. I'm looking forward to England versus Pakistan. And I'm one of those old-fashioned purists. So test cricket is what I really, really look forward to. So, you know, for me, this couldn't have been a better restart to cricket than with red ball cricket, England, West Indies, England, Pakistan, and good fast bowling. Is I love good fast bowling, and that's what West Indies and England gave us. Stuart Broad reaching his 500 plus wickets, and this the Pakistan series promises more of the same. So of course the IPL is good news, but it's not the start of cricket for me. What I am excited about is to see the IPL always throws up like odd little narratives, there's so much happening all at the same time, and it's so fast paced, and you always get these great performances from unlikely people, sudden new people that you get excited about. And you know, we spoke so much about Jofra Archer for the World Cup, for this test series, and you know, he's obviously in no time become one of the premier fast bowlers in the world. But if you recall, the place where Jofra Archer first made his mark was the IPL. So that is something that always excites me, is to kind of anticipate who's the next big thing that we are going to see at the IPL.
Talking of Jofra, you must be pretty excited about the Rajasthan Royals then as well.
Well, you took the words out of me. You know, that is the team. I mean, you know, I remember when the IPL started and when Shane Warne was captain of Rajasthan Royals, and he had this ragtag bunch of guys who you have no idea where they were from, and they were all like, you know, picked up from the nets from some obscure cricket academy somewhere and things like that, and they came up and they performed brilliantly because Shane Warne could just inspire anyone to play the best cricket of their lives, and he was such an astute cricketing brain, and you could see him thinking on the field and you know, getting those things in effect, putting those strategies into effect and getting great results out of it. It was a thrill to watch Shane Warne in action, the great captain that Australia never had. I've had a thing for Rajasthan Royals since then. They're kind of like this underdog, canny, strategically, fast thinking beast that can take down, much bigger animals. But of course, they didn't really no underdog really. I think you can't remain an underdog and keep taking down the big guys forever, right? So underdog stories last a season or a couple of seasons at the most, and that's what happened with them. But Just look at that team right now. It's got Jofra Archer, of course. It's got Ben Stokes, who can do anything at any given point of time. You know, if Ben Stokes is batting in any format, yeah. If Ben Stokes is batting, he can take you to a win in a Test match or an ODI or a T20. If he's bowling, he can take that crucial wicket that you are desperately in need of. If he's fielding, he will take some incredible catch at exactly the time that you want him to. And you know, it's just crazy watching Ben Stokes in action. He's you know, he's a man on a mission. And of course, my favorite batsman, and people will maybe hate me for this, for picking Steve Smith over Virat Kohli, but Steve Smith, I love watching Steve Smith play. You know, I love watching people who are kind of awkward and don't fit the bill, but who at the same time can do things that nobody else can do. And you know, and sports throws up a lot of this these kind of people, and Steve Smith is a wonderful example. So you've got a team which has Jofra Archer, Ben Stokes, the you know, the best possible fast bowler right now, one of the best fast bowlers in the world right now, Jofra, one of the best all-rounders in the world right now, Ben Stokes, and possibly the best batsman in the world right now, Steve Smith. But when they all come together in a T20 team, you know, can they make it work? That's the question. I don't know. I mean, and here's another person in the Rajasthan Royals team that both of us like, and I know you like a lot because you did a deep dive on him, which is Jaydev Unnadkar. This is a man who really knows Indian pitches. Of course, that's not an advantage he's going to have at the UAE. But what a wonderful bowler, even though, you know, he never really went past that domestic level. But what a giant at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, they've ceased to be an underdog team because of the names that you just rattled out. Unnadkar, I'm so glad that you mentioned him because, you know, no fast bowler, Indian or foreigner, knows how to use the pitches and the angles quite like him. And of course, like, you know, you couple that with the sheer pace of Archer and the overall brilliance of Stokes and, you know, Steve Smith. I have no, you know, adjectives for that guy left. This is not an underdog team, but they still haven't pulled it off since Rajasthan's return to cricket since their ban. But it's very similar. You can understand why some, you know, it's a bit like the Galacticos in football, in Real Madrid in the early 2000s, right? Where they basically had no players who were replaceable. And right. So if you have the 11 best players playing together, and a lot of people refer to such a combination as a dream team, what happens when one little aspect of that dream team is not in place? You basically have you know, a minion trying to fill these shoes, this void that he can obviously never fill. And Stokes basically has often had to go back at the fag end of the season, at the climactic end of the season, because that's when the ECB's calendar would begin, their summer would begin. So the guy replacing Stokes, of course, is not half as good as Stokes. Or even if he is, the team kind of lacks that person. You feel that void even more. I mean, not just that setup, right? I mean, like Rajasthan not pulling it off with these three or four names that you so rightly took reminds me of the greatest team to have never won the IPL, Royal Challengers Bangalore, having not won it when they had Gale, De Villiers, Kohli and Dale Steyn in the same team. So this happens, right?
Yeah. And there's the thing about cricket is that, you know, unlike any other sport, and you took the example of Real Madrid and the Galacticos, is that unlike any other sports, cricket has so many different formats. So, I mean, the names I have called out for Rajasthan Royals, they are probably a dream team if it's a test match. I wonder if they make a dream team in T20s.
Absolutely.
And that's the uniqueness of cricket as opposed to other sports, is that, I mean, you have to pick your team according to your format. So sometimes, you know, I mean, like, you know, Steve Smith is not the best T20 batsman in the world, but he's the greatest batsman in the world right now, but not the best in T20s. So So this is a team that's it's got some outstanding players of this generation, but perhaps not exactly for the format that the team plays in.
You know, you were talking about dream teams, and I basically wanted to come to a team that I really want to talk about, and maybe you and I can both expand on why they perhaps haven't done so well in India so far. Maybe it's the mad crowd support that they get at the Firoz Shah Kotla Stadium, but there's something wrong with the erstwhile Delhi Daredevils and now Delhi Capitals, right? But they are my pick for the team to watch out for in the UAE. I'm just going to read out six names to you.
Why is that? Okay.
Okay, go so I really think, okay, two big reasons. I think it's the crowd pressure at the Kotla. I mean, like, you have to have watched an IPL match in Kotla to see the kind of support they get even when they're not doing well, and they're almost always not doing well. It's pretty radical. Like, you can hear it all the way from ITO, where one of my offices happened to be located when I was starting off in journalism, and it would shake. The office building would shake because of some of the cheers from the Kotla, and this is not even an exaggeration. I have a feeling the team, definitely one of the reasons why they just couldn't perform in front of that kind of mad support. So maybe they believed that, you know, they didn't deserve it, but of empty stands, I don't know, in front of empty stands.
That's kind of existential. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, are you saying that they didn't quite do well because they had so much support that they crumbled under the pressure of that support?
they were like dead last on the table, right?
Of course,
then they have like 40,000 people like going nuts about them. I think they were just like, hey, maybe we don't deserve this shit, man. Like, back off, we should be having empty stands in the UAE.
Right.
And I'll give you six reasons why the Delhi Capitals are the team to watch out for.
Yeah.
Can I?
Go on.
Rishabh Pant, Shikhar Dhawan, Shimron Hetmyer, Kagiso Rabada, Jason Roy, Ravi Chandran Ashwin, and a coach in Ricky Ponting. This is an unbeatable side, boss. If these six names click together.
You are an optimist. But yes, those are some great names. Great names. Rishabh Pant, I mean, he's just something. He's a different kind of a beast in T20s, especially in the IPL. I mean, I remember an innings, I think he scored around 93-odd runs or 90-odd runs, where he just went completely wild and played some absolutely unbelievable shots. He was toying with the bowling. He could just, you know, like, you know, just open his legs wide and just pick a spot and just put the ball there, and whoever was bowling. So he's got some crazy hand-eye coordination. I mean, Rishabh Pant is somebody who's very exciting. Of course, he didn't have a great year last year with the Indian team. You know, really had quite a terrible season, in fact, and was under a lot of pressure. Hopefully, he will learn to take that, absorb that pressure, and, you know, be free and be himself. And talking of Rishabh Pant, I mean, I want to pick one player that I think is going to absolutely shine like no one else in this IPL. And it's not a very unpredictable choice, but he's a man that ever since I first saw him batting, I was absolutely blown by how beautifully he bats, how well versed he is with the skill, and how the bat is like an extension of his body. He's compact, he's well composed. I'm talking about Shubman Gill. And Shubman Gill, I mean, obviously did really well for Kolkata Knight Riders last season. They put him straight into the top order. He was just 19, just coming into, at the big level in cricket. But he went straight into the top order. Didn't panic. Didn't try to do something which is not him. He got 450 plus scores batting there, which is the most by a teenager in the IPL, by the way. And And I think that, you know, he's just the kind of, from just looking at the way he bats with that composure, with that game intelligence and the skills he has with the bat, I think that there'll be no stopping Shubman Gill in any format of the game. And, I would like to just put him in the test team already, man.
Wow, that's pretty insane. And I'm just really glad that you brought up Shubman and hence also the youngsters in the tournament, because isn't that what the IPL really was about? Right from Virat Kohli getting a go as soon as the Under-19 World Cup in 2008 ended. He's been with RCB right throughout. But, the IPL has also been the launch pad and for all the right reasons, but also the downfall of a lot of these kids, and I hope that doesn't happen to the next youngster that I'm going to talk about, but it unfortunately happened with Unmukt, right? He was out for a series of ducks. He got his chance after winning the Under-19 World Cup in 2012, just like Virat did in 2008, and he got his go, and it didn't really work out for him, and it kind of crippled him such that his career ended over there a little bit. I hope that's not the case. I hope he still bounces back. But, after Unmukt, there was Rishabh Pant and Prithvi Shaw in 2016 and 2018. I'm just going to go with the same series of names and say that I think the big guy in 2020 is going to be Priyam Garg. Not just because he was the Under-19 World Cup captain for India, who took India all the way to the final in South Africa earlier this year before the pandemic hit. But also because, unlike any of these other names that we took earlier, his big moment under the sun never did happen. Because, the IPL should have happened after the Under-19 World Cup, coronavirus happened. And that hunger has just grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. And he kind of sees this opportunity in UAE as, make or break for him.
Well, of course, I think Priyam is going to get his chance. But one big question that, especially for the youngsters, for the people who are very, very new to this level, is that, this whole disruption because of COVID-19, where you haven't had matches, you haven't had nets open, you've barely been able to practice. How is that going to affect their cricket, their fitness levels, their cricket? I know Priyam was working very hard on his fitness at home, but it's not the same unless you're in a camp and you're in regular competition, which is a completely different thing, of course. So that is one thing that we'll have to look out for. How has the disruption because of the pandemic, where does that take cricketers?
Yeah, so it's not happened, en masse earlier, but most of these cricketers do know how to come back from long injury layoffs, right? So they are quite well versed with taking about a year or 6 months off and then coming back and fighting back. This time, luckily, even the injured ones would have recovered from the injuries with the time off. They just have to acclimatize once they get to the UAE in terms of IPL cricketers, or exactly what the West Indians did when they landed in England for the series, which is they took about 20 days to kind of have a camp together and get, get their cricketing sense back. Basically, it's a bit like cycling, right? Just the way you can never forget how to walk or swim or cycle. These guys can never forget how to bat or bowl or whatever they do. And they've been doing for so many years in a go. So they'll all get back to it. And the fact that they'll all take a lot of solace in the fact that they're all getting back to it together. So no one's in a better place or in a worse place than anybody else.
That's a very good point. And I think that's also a very good point that you raised here, saying that that they should... They are used to this because of the injury layoffs that happen in any sport. So perhaps the mentality to bring into this is that, it's just like that. It's no different than, say, tearing your ACL and being out for 6 months. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's a good
and
point.
Easier than that if you really think about it, right? Because you're not actually coming back from an injury. You're just coming back from a layoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how it goes. A lot of these things could actually bother the cricketers or not bother them. Or they, like, you know, what I said about the Delhi Capitals, I think they might actually be better in front of no fans. We'll have to wait and watch.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll be discussing it once it actually begins in September.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT
Smartcast. Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.